Drinks. Hey everyone, welcome to Why Mommy Drinks. This is Betsy Stover.
And I'm Amanda Allen.
This episode, hi, what?
I'm Amanda Allen.
This episode, we have a funny man around town, writer, John Abood.
Already. Not a strong start.
Oh, no.
Not a strong start.
All right. Hi, John.
Hi. Hey, everyone. Hey.
Welcome to Why Mommy Drinks.
Thank you for that generous intro.
Oh,
thank
you. Was it generous?
It was pretty generous.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, you're a funny man. Well, you're around the town.
Thank you. I do what I can.
You're about the town.
I'm more about the town than funny, probably.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I don't get out much, so.
I think you're very
Bar's
funny.
Low,
that's good.
Low bar.
Oh, dear.
Now they're regretting. Now, this booking. Who thought of this booking? Who did this? Who emailed him? Why? This went wrong.
So I have three kids. They're all boys. 8, 6, and 3.
I have three kids. I have a boy who's 8 and twin 5-year-old girls.
And what have you got?
Two girls, 14 and 10.
Whoa. Whoa.
11.
What?
11. Freshly 11.
Ah. I'm sorry. So what? How old?
14 and freshly 11.
Okay.
I said 10 out of muscle memory.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
But she is 11.
You're still writing 10 on all your old checks.
All the old checks say she's 10.
14 and 11. Yes. Girls, that's like a whole other universe.
I'm a little scared of that.
Yeah.
Those ages.
Oh, you should be. Yeah. 14 more than 11, but yeah, of course. Be very afraid.
Oy, oy, oy. Oh, he's like in a whole other realm. Like, it's like the realm of, you know.
Mordor. That's the realm.
It's like there's like a dating aspect that you're starting to wade into texting, social media, sex talks.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Buckle up.
Oh, pornography on the internet.
Yeah, it's there.
Oh, gosh.
It's there. There's a lot.
Periods. Oh, he's got it all. Oh, it's
the 11-year-old just went to the talk, the school talk.
At 11?
At 11, fifth grade, they show them the video.
Which, of the lady giving birth?
No, it's the video of the ladies talking about periods and body image and puberty. And then, of course, all the girls run home and watch the boy video on YouTube.
Ah, that's
because they don't get to see the boy video at school, but they want to see that.
And the boy video is just like boners.
Mostly about boners and deodorant. Those are topic A. Topic A.
I feel like that second one, like all the moms were like, and also please mention deodorant.
Put
God,
that in.
Please.
Put that in. Educational video makers, put it in.
I can't remember when I started using deodorant. Do you?
Do I remember? I remember when I started shaving.
Really?
Yep.
When was that?
Fifth grade.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Fuzz stash.
Wow.
The fuzz stash.
I feel like that's early. Was everyone else jealous?
Look at me. What do you mean? You're not, what do you mean early? I'm a werewolf stuck in between the transition. It was hairy early. And hairy strong.
Can I just say your hair on your head, on the top of your head, is, at this moment in time, is glorious.
Well,
I don't remember it looking this
thank
glorious
you.
Last time
it's,
I saw you.
I'm letting it go a little bit. It's the old midlife crisis hair.
Yeah.
You know? I call it last gasp hair because it's sort of like, it's not going to, not much longer. Not much longer. Let it go. Let it go because then
think
it's going to go away.
It?
Eventually.
Have the older men in your family all lost their hair?
My dad, no, but it's maternal.
It's maternal.
And my maternal grandparents died when I was really young, so I don't know. It's a big X factor.
No one has any pictures of him or anything?
Pictures, I mean, it was receding, but it was, he was young. You know,
they
had a heart attack pretty early. He was only in his 60s or 50s, so we don't know.
Okay.
We don't know. But yeah, last gasp hair. Yeah. Get it. Look at it while you can.
That's like maybe, I don't know if this is relevant, but I went to the OBGYN and she checked out my eggs and she was, and it was like, we're starting to get to that fire sale part.
How did she check those out? Yeah. How did she check them out?
She was like, they're your fallopian tubes. Look at all those eggs.
And it went in the.
Is this like a sonar?
She was like, watch out.
No, did you get like
a
ultrasound?
Yeah, it was like an ultrasound.
Okay, there we go. There we go.
She was just peering up there.
Yeah.
She just opened the telescope with the little speculum and then she just, and then she looked and then she just described it. No. Yeah.
I'm imagining like a big sort of Brazil Terry Gilliam, like, you know, monocle or something.
Exactly.
Sort of and like,
Oh, if you've never seen the movie Brazil, please watch that movie. It's great. Have you seen it? Amanda, no. It's so good.
Okay.
Do you like Terry Gilliam?
I do.
Then you'll love Brazil. It's like peak, Terry Gilliam.
Okay. That's right? Fun. That means I have something fun to watch.
Oh, my God. You know,
tangent.
Yes.
We're getting to that point now where it is sort of surprising. I have more and more conversations with people where it's surprising which movies they've seen, which movies they haven't seen.
Right.
You know, because there was a time in our younger days. I'm an older fellow than our hosts. But it seems there was a time when everybody saw the same movies.
Yeah.
That's gone.
Yeah.
That is gone. Our common reference points, gone. And that's only going to increase, I think.
Yeah.
Streaming, so folks. Streaming. Look into it. Yeah. No, everyone sees what an algorithm tells them to see now.
Right.
And there just aren't the same kind of reference points anymore.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, and also the more we get into our sort of like...
completely irrelevant. Why are you talking about this?
Well, John? we get into our social media bubbles too. Yes. And then we all kind of get in the same algorithm together.
That's right.
And then we almost isolate ourselves more because everyone in our bubble is viewing the same stuff.
Speaking of Catastrophe.
Yeah, it's final season. Final season. Get ready.
If you haven't watched it, I was about to say viewers, listeners, it's my favorite. It's one of my favorite shows.
It's really good.
Brilliant. Good stuff. Good stuff.
So funny. And as parents, like, it's just, it's heartbreakingly accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go there.
They sure do. It's dark, and it's like,
they
it's,
really do.
It's dark,
very
and
honest.
Hilarious and wonderful and just like everything else in parenting. You know? So it's good.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Way to rerail. Good job. Yeah. Good job. Got it back on track.
The other thing this reminded me of was that my son's taking math tests, you know, because he's in school and they do that, I guess. But they had to count money for one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, practice counting money with your kid. And I just was like, oh, I don't have money.
Yeah.
Right. How much money is needed for this test?
Right. I was like, we do everything with cards and online. Venmo. Yeah. I mean, can he learn about Venmo?
That's
and it's
right.
like one of those that's things right. that's kind of, how long until that's really not even a thing anymore? Because you don't, like, I don't walk around with bills and change in my pocket.
Yeah.
Quarters, nickels, dimes.
Same thing with like
antiquated names.
So, yeah.
What did they mean? Tell me. We don't remember.
Like handwriting and cursive.
Oh, that's gone. That's gone.
It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Older kid, 14-year-old, had cursive.
Ah.
Younger kid, no cursive. They didn't even do it.
Yeah, they don't teach it.
They didn't even do
it. How do you learn how to write fast?
Type.
Yeah.
Fast thumbs. Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody makes fun of me. I write all the time at work. I carry like a notebook and write.
Wrong hand.
I go through and write down my notes. I have like to-do lists and people are just like, you know, you're also carrying a computer because I'll carry my computer around like it's a book.
Yeah.
I'm like, I understand. I got
That's
it.
That's true.
Like, no, this is just for Twitter. No. I don't take notes on this. No. This is my Twitter machine.
I took a workshop this weekend and I took all my notes, on a notepad like a human might. Yeah. But the younger people at the workshop took all their notes on a laptop.
Mm-hmm. Or their phones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. I wouldn't even think to do that because it looks like you're texting and like...
It's not a good look.
Seems disrespectful.
It's not a good look, young people.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I remember being in grad school and that was when I noticed the big flip where I was in there and I was like writing my notes out and listening.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like on their computers... And some of them were surfing the internet.
Boo.
And I just remember being like, you're paying for this.
Why are you here? Like, yeah.
What are you doing?
Exactly.
But even just having your computer out, like it's just, my brain doesn't process notes that way.
Me neither.
I don't. Yeah. I have to listen and then think about how I'm writing it down. But like actually typing things out, like it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Even when I have to learn lines for something, I like to write it by hand. I think they even said there's like a way that your synapses work.
Yep.
That when you write it down, it helps you understand it.
The act of doing it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't understand how they absorb information by typing
it. Young children.
Oh, kids these days.
Right. Yeah.
Oh.
Poor them. Poor them.
Back in my day, we took notes on a Victrola.
A wax cylinder.
Back in my day, we did a Morse code, and that's how we took our notes. SOS.
SOS. It was a...
Dot, dot, dot. Or dit, da, 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 dit.
What?
Yeah.
Morse code.
SOS.
Dot, dot, dip.
So now I was promised that you were a light prepper. See, these are the kind of things that we're going to have to get into.
Right. We talked about this right before the show started. Have we talked about it on the show?
A little bit, because I tell everybody if there's an apocalypse, I'm going to your house.
Right. So yeah, I'm a light prepper. Okay. I have three.
Walk me through it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
This is parenting related.
It is responsible parenting.
100%. Yeah. Before I had kids, I never would have had. Yep. Well, also before I had kids, I lived in Manhattan.
I'm looking at my prepper stuff. And it's like, There's a cup of noodles up there.
Sure, look at that. Yeah, there you go. You've got a palette
of cup of noodles.
Bring it on, San Andreas. Yeah, we got the noodles here.
When the big one comes.
You're well stocked with ramen. Yeah.
1, 2, 3. About 12 little cups of noodles.
That'll last you a day and a half. Easy, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can really go, like anything, really, like, you can go through the looking glass and just like into this wormhole. I mean, I feel like compared to a lot of people I know, I have a lot of prep stuff.
More than most.
And yet even then I feel like I don't have enough and I'll go online and be like, oh, but what if I had this? So, I mean, so I have obviously tons of water.
Yeah.
And I also have this thing called, it's like a water filter thing. So, if, you know, and then in each one of my cars, I also have a little water filter straw.
Yep, and straw.
And food.
Yep.
And extra clothes for the kids. But I have that anyway for, you know, but I have also have like those little silver blankets in all the cars.
The reflective blanket.
And sure, also in, sure.
I have a whistle. You probably got a whistle in there.
Of course, a whistle, flashlight. Multi-tool. Lots of flashlights.
A Leatherman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A cranky flashlight that you can plug your phone into. Yes. I have three enormous military-grade backpacks full of food, propane, or like a butane. Butane stove. I have a mess kit that you can cook. Enough food for 3 days. Toiletries, cash, important papers.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes on and on. I have a duct tape, plastic sheeting.
Sheeting. Got to have the sheeting.
Mm-hmm.
Shelter in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a big tool that you use to turn the gas off.
Yep.
Amanda's making the craziest faces. So yeah, like
I have this cup of noodles. Yeah.
I mean, in a
pinch, have a tent. You could turn
You could turn the gas off with that, maybe the lip of the cup. I don't know.
You might.
Just give it a shot.
I gotta learn how to turn the gas off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that. I'm hoping Ari will live through the initial apocalypse and then.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
I said, I don't even think I know where the gas is.
She's looking around frantically.
Oh, God, she doesn't know where the gas
is. Yeah.
You should know where that is.
It might be it.
I don't really know.
We'll see.
We got to figure that out.
So, yeah, we have a lot of stuff. I could go on and on and on.
Yeah, that's right. I love it.
I love it.
It makes me feel like I have some control over an uncontrollable situation.
Yeah, it sounds like a
little
bit. You're a little bit of a prepper?
A little bit.
Yeah. High five.
All right. You are talking to the vice president of the South Pasadena Amateur Radio Club.
Oh.
Yeah. That's how.
So if the shit goes down, you've got a little ham radio situation.
Mm-hmm. You do ham radios?
I do.
My dad used to do ham radios.
Did you do that since you were a kid?
Yeah.
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
When I was 9, my dad invited me to go to the Ham Fest.
Ham in Ohio?
It was in Florida.
Oh, Hamcation. That's Orlando Hamcation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I went and thought it was a real ham fest. Like I thought we were going to eat
ham. That's what I would think.
Spiral cut, all that. No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Ham, ice cream. Yeah.
Yeah.
He used to collect people like
QSL cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what he would do all day, all the time. Like he'd be up there like doing his thing.
That was his train set in the basement.
That was his train set in the
basement.
There's
a lot of them.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. Ham radio.
The mentality really well.
Oh, everyone's got their thing. Yeah. Quilting.
Sure.
Ham radio. Yeah. Genealogy research.
Do you have a giant antenna?
I don't. It's about, I have a 5-foot antenna.
It was
made by a professor at Santa Cruz. And he just sort of sells it to, you know, people online. You just call him up, and I think he makes his students actually do the labor, and then he ships it to you.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So what's the plan? The apocalypse happens, an earthquake happens, you've got your radio.
Yes. And we kind of have a little, it's in progress, but it's sort of like a plan to contact each other. First, you take care of your family. First, you make sure you take care of yourself and your family.
Uh-huh.
Then you look after your neighbors. Then you can kind of expand the scope. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. And then you can kind of expand the scope a little bit. And so we just sort of have plans to get in touch, see who's needs what. And ideally, you know, the best preparation really is to kind of know who lives near you and what their needs are. If you've got old folks.
Oh, wow.
If you've got people that need oxygen or something like that, you know, can kind of prioritize. I do. Yes, I do.
Or people who don't know where their gas tanks
don't know
where
their gas tank, the turnoff. And
this
whatnot.
Is all stuff I have not thought of. We don't really have like a good plan.
To rerail, to get back onto the parenting tip, older kid, the 14-year-old, was a Girl Scout. And for her Gold Award, for her Girl Scout Gold Award, she wrote an earthquake prepping guide for kids.
Yay! That's cool.
Yep.
Is that kind of like an Eagle project, like an Eagle Scout project kind of?
Silver Ward. No, Gold is like Eagle Scout.
Okay.
Silver Ward is the younger version. Yeah. She's
great.
Not, she's
the
not
JV at, version.
Totally. Totally.
Awesome. Yeah.
She's not at the gold level yet, but for her Silver Award, she did an earthquake guide for kids, written kind of specifically for kids. And she went through all the stuff of what you need to have and what to do. And
Send it to me.
A page. I will.
I think adults, some adults could use that.
Yes. Oh, man.
Somebody said that if there's an earthquake and you're in bed, you stay in bed.
Correct.
Yes.
So
there,
put your blanket over, like kind of over your head.
Pillow.
Even.
Blanket.
Because stuff will fall, debris. And if you're under your blanket, then you can not get so scratched up and dirty. You want to stay clean in the apocalypse.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to do well.
What? Uh-uh. You already said you were going to bind your breasts and go on
I'll
the road Mad Max style.
Oh, there's that.
You're ready for the apocalypse. You're prepped.
Yep.
Who goes first this week? Do you?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. I think it's
apocalypse
you.
Apocalypse of the week?
Who starts?
I was thinking about, what story can I tell? And I don't think I talked about this, but I thought, I wanted to kind of go back and revisit a story from the Mind Castle.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Mind Castle.
Brain.
Memory Palace.
Memory Palace.
We like to call it Mind Castle.
Yeah, okay. Well, put your own spin on it. You could, you know.
So what has broken you, Miss Amanda?
Here we go.
In the past check.
Let's do it.
I was thinking about when I first had my son. Like I was a brand new mother, and how absolutely, like, out of my mind I became.
Yeah.
I didn't want anyone to touch him.
Sure.
I remember I would just hold him all day long. People would come over, like my mother-in-law would come over, or my mother would come to visit, or Kaiten, and they would be like, I'll hold the baby and give you a break. And I just looked at them like they were out of their mind. No.
Yeah.
I can do this. Like, I felt like I had to hold the baby all day, all night. I had to take care of the baby. I had to do it the best. And it got to a place to where I'm sure I looked like a walking zombie. Like I wouldn't put the baby down. I was like, I've got this. And then they convinced me to go to get my nails done. So I was like, okay. So I left to go get my nails done. I did it. It came back. My mother-in-law babysat Wes. And I was like, all right, that wasn't so bad.
How old was he when this happened?
He was little. Oh, I don't know. I mean, like
a week?
Yeah, probably.
Oh,
probably like 2 weeks or, I mean.
That's good.
Yeah. So yeah, probably not a week. I don't think I would have left that soon.
Especially with your first.
Yeah, it was really with him.
Once you had a toddler and twins, you were like, I gotta get out of here.
With the girls, I was throwing them at people. They were like, that's a 5-pound baby. I don't want to touch it. And I was like, yeah, hold it. I'll be back in 4 hours. What's your name?
Who are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
We've all had those.
Write your name and number down on this paper. I'll see you in a little bit. Mm-hmm.
And don't go lying, because I won't figure it out. But, you know, honor system. Yeah. Don't steal my baby.
It's like watching a laptop.
It was totally the opposite.
It's like watching a laptop.
I just have to pee. Can you just watch this?
Watch my most precious.
Yeah. And all my ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just hold it for me. I'll be back in a little bit. Yeah, it was just such a completely different experience. And I was thinking about the first time I hired a sitter. Mm-hmm. Like, I finally, everybody convinced me, you have to start thinking about getting a babysitter. So just do like little bits at a time, have this person come. Do an errand, and then you can come back, and slowly you'll get used to leaving the baby with somebody. And I remember the first time that I booked a sitter, I was convinced that they were going to steal him. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought, if I bring someone into my house, they're going to, without a doubt, take this baby because he's the cutest thing that's ever been made.
He's the cutest baby.
Right.
Nobody would be able to refuse him. They're going to take him, steal him, and he's going to be sold to someone else. Or they're going to keep him for their own selves because they realize how great he is.
Right.
And Caden was like, that's absolutely not true. Mm-hmm. And nobody's going to steal your baby. Maybe there's somebody out there who really does like to steal babies. But I'm telling you,
we've all seen Raising Arizona.
Sure.
Nope.
What?
CF earlier conversation.
Okay. You need to see Raising Arizona.
Okay. That's with Nick Cage, right?
Yes.
Face Off.
And he's adorable and young in it.
Oh, but Face Off you've seen. Okay. So,
wait, do you like the Coen brothers?
Yeah.
You're going to love it. It's peak Coen brothers.
I'd put it before Brazil.
I think you might be right.
Brazil's more of a curiosity, you know?
I wonder if like every Raising movie Arizona I've seen is always like.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah, they're both really good.
If I've only seen like the like. Okay, movies of like these famous directors, but never they're like
I haven't
great.
Seen the peak ones.
I've seen Eyes Wide Shut. Right, I think I understand Kubrick.
I get it. I get it. I don't need to see the other ones.
The one that space one? Nah.
Yeah, I get it.
2001 Space Odyssey. Have you seen it, Amanda? Oh shit!
Wait a minute.
You need to see that movie. You like Kubrick? You like him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're going to. Yep. Right. Because you've seen The Shining.
Yeah, there we go.
You have seen Eyes Wide Shut.
And The Shining.
Oh, my God.
And
The Shining.
Okay. Well, that's peak.
Shining.
Peak.
Yeah.
It's definite.
And I don't like peak. Scary movies. But 2001
is 2001's really good. Well, yeah. I mean, but it's also kind of an oddity and a curiosity. It's weird.
Yeah. I always think about the sunset with 2001 Space Odyssey. Because in Florida, if you go to the beach, they play the song from the movie.
Oh.
Okay.
When the sun is setting.
Yeah.
And all of the like retirees come out and they show up and then it starts to play. Doom, doom, doom. Mm-hmm.
Wait, they actually do this in real life?
Every day.
Every day? That's excessive.
It's great.
That's excessive.
Really fucking
it's
weird.
Worth coming and watching the people. Yeah. They like, it's like Cocoon. They like show up and they come out and they're all like, here we
okay,
are.
So that's a movie she's seen.
I've seen.
Oh, okay, great. We
got another one on the board.
Yeah.
We got another one on the board. Yep.
So I just was remembering the
insanity
and intensity that I felt about leaving my child. And I got to the point to where I felt like I saw his point of view. I saw Caden's point of view of like, no, the reality is you need to get out of the house and step away from the baby because the baby is its own human being and you are your own human being and you have to separate for you both to kind of grow and thrive. And I was like, right, okay. But she's going to steal him. And he was like, just go. Just go.
Oh, no. You had postpartum anxiety probably and you didn't
sounds
know
like
it. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I had it and I didn't know it.
I had no idea that I had it.
Yeah.
And I don't think people talk about the anxiety associated with it. They talk about the depression. But even still, that's super shamed.
Oh,
because it's like, you can't. You have to just be good at
this. Oh, she's ill.
Yeah. I just remember always like, it was like, nope, gotta hold this baby. Can't leave the room. The baby's in the room. I have to stay in the same room as the baby. How can I get in the other room? What if what if the baby needs me and I'm in the wrong room? Yes. So I finally, I remember this one woman came over and I was just like, okay, so you're going to watch my son. He's magical. Mm-hmm. He's wonderful.
You should know he's magical. Just a few. Here's my phone number. A couple things to know about the boy. Magical. cutest, greatest baby ever. Very stealable. That's probably number one concern.
He's at peak stealable.
Peak stealability.
Stealability.
You know, Raising Arizona? He's like that of children.
Do they steal babies in Raising Arizona?
They do.
Spoiler alert.
I'm really glad I didn't see that movie before I had a kid, because it would have just been like, see? They made movies about it. It must be true. Yep.
See this documentary, Raising Arizona?
Yeah. Yep.
This movie talk this week.
Good. Yeah. So I went to go get my nails done or go to the grocery store, do something that only takes like an hour. And I was going to just leave the baby for an hour with this person.
And this was your first excursion.
My first excursion out. Yeah. I had already left him once with family, but I had never left him with a stranger that I didn't know.
Got it.
So this is my first time leaving him with a stranger. And I remember I got in the car and I just sat in the car and was like, you know what I could do is I could like drive around the corner and park the car and sit in the car
and wait.
Wait.
Watch.
The hour and watch to make sure she doesn't try to take
lion wait.
Oh my God.
Lion wait. Like a stakeout.
Yeah. Like my mind
like
went there.
Like a lioness.
My mind was totally like, I shouldn't go too far because if something happens, I'll be too far away. And what if, like, she does this way, I can trust her. Like, if
when the Amber Alert comes in, I want to be close to go drive in.
Right.
Yep.
I will pounce.
Pounce.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, I should. And then in my mind, I was like, this is not okay. You just have to go to the grocery store. You need to buy some milk and calm yourself down. So I was like, all right, go to the grocery store. Stop. So I get to the grocery store. I think I got into the grocery store and I was like, and I'm here and I'm done. And I like didn't buy anything. Got
back
to the car.
Oh, no. Back to the house. That's not where I thought this was going.
No, I totally gave up. Came back in, knocked on the door, and was like, hi, I'm so sorry. I know I said an hour, but I think I'm done. Thank you so much. How did he do? And she was just like, literally like, whoa.
Wow. I think I'm done.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I couldn't do
you
it.
Poor
like
baby.
I had to, I never called that woman back again because I was so embarrassed.
I booked her.
Yeah. I was like, oh, she's going to think that like something's wrong with me.
Right.
Something is wrong with me. Like I can't leave this child alone for even an hour. We ended up finding another sitter that became like wonderful.
Yeah.
But I had to go, and this was what worked for me, was I had to go with Caton because I couldn't do it on my own. So he had to like take me.
He was the training wheels.
Yeah. He was like, we can go.
Yeah.
I will be with you. She will be fine. She babysits for your friend's kids, so you know she doesn't steal babies.
Right. That's good.
Scrambled eggs in just in every which way after you have a kid.
It's so true.
I feel
it's
you,
so
man.
It's so interesting now because like now I'm like, my sitters will come in. They leave the house a disaster pit. Like they don't do anything. My kids will be. I'll find them asleep in like their coats because they don't even like help them get to bed.
What?
It's
like
sandwiches in their hands.
It's straight up just like
Amanda?
Survival of the fittest when they're here babysitting. And
I do not like that. I am not a fan of that thing. Poor workmanship there.
I just need anybody who can show up basically. And so if I can get somebody to show up and stay, then thanks for coming. Here's some money. It's the total opposite.
You earned it.
It's just amazing how much has changed in that short. It's really a short amount of time.
Yeah.
But it's like I went from being this person that like sat out and stared to, hey, what's your name? Here's $20 an hour. Just keep them alive.
Mm-hmm.
Turn the TV on the whole time. I don't care. Gotta go. Mm-hmm. Like it was like just do what you gotta do so I can go do what I gotta do.
Yeah.
Like it's so crazy how different. I got to find like a middle ground.
Yeah.
Maybe someone that will feed my children.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll start with that.
Bathe them.
Yeah. I was just remembering that anxiety of like everything. Like if one thing goes wrong, like it's all broken. Yeah. It was so crippling.
What do you mean if one thing goes wrong?
It's like with the baby. I think because when you first have your first baby, that feeling of like,
everything's perfect. Nothing's been ruined.
Well, nothing's been ruined. Like before I had Wes, I had this like breakdown before I had him where I just remember like starting to cry one night and I was like, oh, he's never going to be as safe as he is right now.
Right.
Like that, like
in utero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh, pretty soon he's going to be born.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, this world is crazy and yeah. anything mm-hmm. can happen. And just, oh, like it all just hit me at once, like the world's mm-hmm. problems. And I was like, and I'm mm-hmm. bringing a child into this. And then, and what is this? And oh no. And I had just, you know, I'm a therapist, so I had studied child mm-hmm. development. So I was like, it's so easy for me to screw this up. Like, I even know how to screw it up. I've read all of the
books. I've seen all the ways.
Yeah. So it was just like, just overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And then when he was born, it's the same kind of thing too. Like there's all these patterns where it's like, well, they have to eat it this time and it has to be like this. And it just feels like there's so many things you have to do just to keep them alive, when in all reality, you don't have to do anything.
Well, that's true too. There.
Yeah.
And so much of this, to me, so much of becoming a parent is about like relinquishing control.
Yes.
Right. And I feel like that's also kind of not in a bad way or a negative way, but like when he was in utero, you were in control. Yes. He was safe. And keeping, letting him be with a babysitter, like
same
that
thing.
Is so out of control. Yeah. Like you are you're not there. Yeah. You can't control anything.
Uh-huh.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. It's a weird thing to start to kind of wrap your head around. I struggled with it when I first had Wes.
Yeah.
And I think the girls taught me that kids mm-hmm. teach you that you really have, there's not much control.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's an illusion.
The girls.
Yeah.
You try. The more you try, it actually mm-hmm. backfires. Because
yeah. mm-hmm.
with the girls, it was like, I was like, I'm going to have this one baby. And then they were like, nope, you're having two.
And they're crazy.
Crazy. And it's going to be nutty the whole way. And you're not going to be, like, I with them, I couldn't even, like, I had to leave West. Like, I didn't even see him because I had to live in the hospital. So it was like basically just hope you enjoyed those 2 years because that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was just thinking about that notion of like that fear. It doesn't exist in the same way now.
And you forget, like my brother-in-law just came to visit. He and his wife came to visit and their baby is 4 months old.
Oh, wow.
So,
is this their first kid?
It's their first kid.
Oh, wow.
And you forget how all consuming it is.
Yes.
It is just, you know, it's an evolutionary just state of mind that gradually, but it takes time, you start to let go of and you start to accept the lack of control and you start to understand that you need to have space and that you don't have, but at first that's not your mindset. At first it's sort of like, how do I not kill this?
Yes.
How do I keep this alive?
Yeah. That baby sounds like a goat. I don't understand if that's how it's supposed to sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I remember, they make weird animal noises
mm-hmm.
when they're born. They're like, what is that? But yeah, that's what I wanted to bring that one back because I just remember that moment of sitting in the car and being like, I'm just going to sit out here and watch the house.
Wow.
Like, it's such a weird thing.
No, but you get so crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And postpartum anxiety and depression can take so many different forms that it's easy to think that you're weird or you're broken or something's wrong with you because, it's not just that I don't feel sad all the time. So I guess there's something really wrong with me because, do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I didn't feel sad, but I felt like I couldn't put my kid down.
Yeah. I didn't feel sad, but I would have weird intrusive thoughts about my kid dying.
Yes.
that were like very disturbing and mm-hmm. I felt like I couldn't share them with anyone because clearly I was like crazy.
Oh yeah.
In the hospital,
they interview you to make sure that you don't have it, feel like if you answer it wrong, they're going to take your baby.
Yeah. And a lot of it is just about depression or
maybe they didn't make anybody feel that way. But for me, I was like, they're going to take my
baby. Oh my God.
Oh no. Take a number. Get in line.
Oh shit, they're going to take me.
Line, baby stealers.
You saw he's magical, didn't you?
Yeah. I see how this works. You guys found your
inn. It started right there.
Found your excuse.
Everything's fine. I'm great. Go away.
Oh my God. One of our listeners named Lindsay, I won't say her whole name, recently wrote a post on her Facebook and shared it with me. Did she share it with you as well?
I don't go on the internet very well.
Mm-hmm. But all about postpartum depression and how she had been dealing with it. And it can become so all-consuming. I know
you might have shared it with me.
I have another friend who I believe still listens to the show, who had to go to she had to check herself into a mental facility, like to get treated with postpartum depression, because I think she was afraid she might harm herself.
Okay. Well, good for her for taking that step.
But so it can get so extreme and it can feel so isolating. Yeah. It's good to remember that, like, man, having a baby fucks your shit up. Mm-hmm. And it's all, you know, it might not be good for you, but it's...
You're not alone,
and you're not wrong. Right. Yeah.
It's a response to this life change.
Yeah.
The trauma.
And all the hormone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is traumatic. It's traumatic for your body, and it's traumatic for your brain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a fucking car crash. I was talking to someone recently. They were like, oh, I'm thinking about having a third kid, but I don't know. Like, I finally feel like I'm in control of my body. And I was like, yeah, it's like getting ready to be in a car crash. It's like, do I want to get in this car crash? Let me think about it.
Do I want to do this to myself? Interesting. Yeah.
Like, that to me was part of having two kids 20 months apart. It was like, okay, you know what? I just did this. I can do another car crash. Mm-hmm. Let's just do it. Let's just two car crashes in right mindset. In a row. Like, I can handle another car crash. Yeah.
Wow. So you're comparing it to a car crash. It's so visceral. It's like so.
Yeah. I mean, you know, crazy whiplash.
Well, it's so cool that you guys are talking about this, because I hope that these stories help people.
Yeah.
You know, I hope that people hear it and can talk about it more openly, because what you said earlier was, I mean, so sad about stigmatization and sort of people. The fact that you felt like you couldn't share it at time, that's terrible.
I was like, oh my God.
That's heartbreaking.
And also, it was so, I couldn't even define what it was.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. No one had, I'd never heard of anyone after having a kid having vivid, intrusive thoughts about that kid.
Terrible things happening.
Yeah, terrible things happening. Mm-hmm. I just had never heard of that. So I thought, oh, I guess I'm just weird. I guess something's wrong with me, but I don't know. Yeah, it's,
Betsy, who's our sponsor this week?
Why, it's Care Of.
Oh, yay. We love Care Of. What is Care Of?
We love Care Of. They are a monthly subscription vitamin service.
Yes. So
they deliver completely personalized vitamin and supplement packs right to your door. Yep. And they come in a handy little, what is this thing that
carton,
with my hand?
Like a carton.
It's like a little carton.
Dispensary.
A dispenser. And it's real cute, and it sits on your kitchen counter, and then it's full of all these little packets of vitamins.
That's right.
And each one has your whole day's worth of vitamins. It has your name on it. Comes with a little pamphlet says what all the vitamins are. So you go on their website. You take a handy little online quiz.
Yep.
They want to know what you're working on. Are you trying to have healthy nails? Are you trying to sleep better?
Do you need more vitamin D?
Yes. Whatever your sort of needs are for your lifestyle.
They put together a packet filled with all of the right vitamins that will help you out with all those things.
That's right. So if you have health goals, they're going to help you meet those health goals, you know? So if you want to make your health and wellness a top priority, their monthly subscription vitamin service can help you. They also send vitamins to pregnant women in need, which is so cool. I really like Care Of. I really honestly do. I really liked their product. They have vegan, they have vegetarian supplement options.
I do too. I like how convenient it is. I always get overwhelmed when I'm buying vitamins, and I like that I don't even have to think about it. They kind of set it up for me so I can say, this is what I need. And then they take care of the rest.
Exactly. Because when I go into the pharmacy or whatever, the drugstore, and you walk down that aisle and just both sides of the aisle are vitamins and supplements, or, you know, you go to some store where that's all they do.
Yep.
It's so overwhelming. But they take the overwhelm out of it. And especially if you're a busy person, a busy mom, the fact that you can have this little packet of vitamins,
put it in your bag, take it to go.
It's tailor made for you. Yeah. Put it in your purse, keep it in your car.
Do we have a code? I think we have a code.
Hell yeah, we got a code. We take care of our babies. Is that how I talk? you can get 50% off. half off your first month of personalized care of vitamins.
That's great.
You just go to takecareof.com and you enter the promo code WMD and then the number 50. Takecareof.com. Enter WMD50 for 50% off your first month. Nice.
Betsy, what's another one of our sponsors this week?
It's BetterHelp.
Ah, it's interesting because we're talking about anxiety on this show.
That's right.
And worry and stress. And BetterHelp is an online resource where you can go online and find BetterHelp.
That's right. It's online counseling. You can connect with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment.
They have 3,000...
licensed therapists.
Yes, who have... specialized training in a variety of services: depression, anxiety, marital problems, trauma, grief. You name it. And there's somebody out there who can help you kind of get to the root of what you want to work on.
And you can find a way to that works for you to communicate with your counselor. So the old way of doing it, which is like, You get in your car, you go to an office, you have a whole hour there, then you get back in your car, and like, well, there's your lunch break, or there's a huge chunk of your day. Instead, with BetterHelp, you can choose to text with your counselor, to do like an online chat, to talk over the phone, to do a video chat.
Yep.
That's something I've done because I'm a busy mom. So I found therapists that I could do video chat with, and it was so helpful.
Yeah.
I could find that one little part of my day where I didn't have kids around. I could really take care of me and speak to a therapist about all the things that I needed to work through. Everything you share, by the way, is confidential. And if you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time and you won't have an additional charge. As soon as you start with BetterHelp, they will find you someone in under 24 hours that you can talk to.
That's amazing.
It's super amazing. It's affordable. It's convenient. They even have financial aid for those who apply. So, Why Mommy Drinks listeners get 10% off their first month of BetterHelp with discount code DRINKS. DRINKS. Why does she drink? You got to go to BetterHelp and find out. you go to BetterHelp.com/drinks. You're going to fill out a little questionnaire that helps them assess your needs, what you need to get out of counseling. And then you get matched with a counselor that you're going to love. So that's BetterHelp.com/drinks for 10% off your first month. I feel like I don't have a specific story this week. It's been one of those weeks where we're just like lots of things. So I'll just give you sort of like a cornucopia of broken. Yeah, today's going to be a potpourri grab bag of things that have sort of been breaking me. So the ongoing thing is just that my 8-year-old cannot deal. Somehow he's really confronting the fact that he has a 3-year-old brother who's annoying and he cannot deal. And he loudly complains about it in detail about how much he does not like his brother and how he wishes he was not here living with us in existence. No matter how much I try to explain that, like, this is your brother, he's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. He can't stop being annoying. That's how younger brothers are. That's just their deal. But the only thing, you know, you can control is yourself and how you react and how you choose to face this. It ebbs and it flows. It gets to some points I'm like, you're breaking my heart. Like, it really makes me feel sad when you talk about, you know, that, because I want you to express yourself, but I also need you to understand, like, well, I love you and I love your brother, and when you say mean things all the time about how you don't like him or love him or want him around, it makes me really sad. So there's that.
Does that work on him?
No. Nothing works. He just grouses. He's just really negative all the time and he grouses about it. And I don't know what to do. And then another thing was, So my kids go to two different schools, very far away in opposite directions of where we live. Mm-hmm. So like we live in the middle and then they each go in opposite directions to their schools. And so I don't feel involved with their schools because I'm never really there.
Okay.
And so I've just lately I've been sort of starting to panic a little bit that this isn't how I pictured their childhood and their like elementary school experience. And I'm starting to like, I keep questioning kind of like the choices that I've made and whether they should be these schools. And then I keep kind of mentally running into corners. I've just been like,
this is the 8 and the 5 year old.
This is the 8 year old and the 6 year old.
The 8 and the 6.
Yeah.
Different schools far apart.
Different schools far apart. So yeah, I just worry about that. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God. And then also like they're getting older. Like he's 8 now and like he's not the same person he was 3 years ago. Like he's different now. And I'm seeing them get older and that's starting to make me panic. And like, ugh, the other night I just like laid in bed just worrying about just everything. Thank God for Ambien. Gosh, I love Ambien. I mean, if there's a fire in the house, I will be incinerated. Mm-hmm. I will not.
But well rested.
But so well rested.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, yeah, I wish I had like a specific story this week. The other thing sort of related to that is did I talk about this before? Stop me if I did. I ran into this mom who I know from my son's old school. And she's this really cool lady with this really like high profile career. And she's lovely. I love her so much. And her kids are awesome and super bright, and they're just like the parents both went to like Ivy League college. They have a
I mean those
don't
people.
Like them don't
what
like
a bunch
them.
Of jerks they don't live like in this them. Beautiful like beautiful mansion and
I really
just,
don't like them
they're love and their kids are great. And so I ran into her and she was like, oh, we're just, you know, catching up. And what do your kids do? And it was just like, her kids do so many activities. It was like, oh, she does running club on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then she also has, you know, math club. And then she also does ice skate. And like, it was just like every day she had all these like, I was like, oh, fuck. My kids don't do anything.
Yeah. Well, like, how many activities did you have when you were a kid? Did you do a lot?
My mom made me go to Hebrew school twice a week.
Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when I was like little like that, I maybe did like a dance class or gymnastics or something. But that was it.
Different expectations. Yeah. That was not a thing.
No.
You just didn't program your kids. You didn't overschedule them like that.
But now it is. Yeah. And I worry. I guess that's I worried this past week a lot. So like I worry that like my kids aren't like keeping up or, you know, like I'm depriving them of learning the violin or learning Mandarin on a Saturday or, you know what I mean?
Do you ask them questions like, are you interested in this kind of thing? Because
they are interested.
They are. Okay. See, that
but
was
but then
never
also,
our
there's so there's
we ask our kids
not much
like, no,
time.
Yeah, that's
they don't want to do it.
And there's no money to do it.
Yeah.
Like, stuff is so
it
expensive.
Adds up.
Like,
it adds up.
Ajax wants to take a breakdancing class, and we just don't have the money for it right now.
Mm-hmm. Show him electric boogaloo.
No. Okay. Seriously, there's. I just hosted the elementary school talent show for the fourth and final time.
I thought I recognized you.
Yes, from the elementary school talent show. The kids that dance the best often self-taught on YouTube. It's incredible.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Often it's more like sort of modern dance or hip-hop dance, but you say, wow, you know, where did you learn to do that? You take class? You're like, no, watch videos. Like, it's impressive. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly impressive.
That's like me when I dance. I just tell everybody, no, I just make it up as I go along.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just going to tell my 6-year-old to go onto YouTube and just look up videos.
Yeah. Well, they're doing it anyway.
Yeah, so they are.
They might as well.
Oh my God. That's another thing that broke me this week is that at one point I came down. So the boys, when they wake up early in the morning, any day of the week, they go downstairs and they just they go on iPads and they play games until we wake up.
Sure.
And I had put all these parental restrictions on the iPads, but I guess I put too many restrictions, and so then they weren't able to like play a lot of their favorite games. Okay. And fucking everything as a fucking chat function, because you know you got to talk to strangers all over the world, or else why play any game? Like even just there's like a fucking Scrabble game, and you got to be able to speak with strangers. It's so terrifying. So I put too many things, and so then we kept having to take them off. And I just, you know, it takes like a long time to sort of set it all up, and so I never set them up again. So I came down one morning, and my 6-year-old was watching some weird video of a kid in Russian, and I was like, "What is this?" And he's like, "I don't know. They're speaking in Russian," and I was like, I was so terrified because anytime I brought it up to my husband, he's like, "Well, I know the channels that they look at, and I know I've looked at how it is, and you know, if it auto plays, it just plays in that channel, and you know, there's nothing to worry about." And I'm always like, "They're gonna find ISIS beheading videos. They're gonna find
or Momo.
Momo.
Do you know about Momo?
Apparently, I looked on Snopes. It's it's fake. It's not real.
Yeah.
I know about Momo. My girls are Momo twins.
No Momo.
What does that mean?
They're monochorionic. So they're like, they were in the same sack.
Oh.
They're called Momo twins.
That's a different Momo. That's a different Momo. That's not, wait, that's not the...
Do you know the Momo we're talking about?
The Momo, no.
Okay, hipper to the Momo.
It's like Slenderman. It's like a sort of urban myth, scary online meme thing, and kids try to send it to other kids and scare them with it. And it's sort of like when the clowns were attacking. Remember when the clowns were attacking?
Wait, wasn't they always attack. Clowns always attack.
That's a good
John,
point.
You don't know
that's
this.
A good point.
She is very afraid of... That's her main fear.
Not down with clowns.
No, I'm not into the clowns.
She is very afraid of clowns. Yeah.
Well,
that is a truth thing.
With good reason.
Yeah.
Because they attack people.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
Because they wear a mask and it's always smiling.
Yeah.
So yeah, that terrified me to come down and he had like stumbled into sort of another corner of the internet. And then I was like, wait, like all
they're
of a sudden
all
I was
corners.
Like, but it was like, oh my God, he's on YouTube. It's not even kids YouTube.
Right.
He's just got access
kids
to
YouTube
the world.
Isn't safe.
Yeah, that's like the Peppa Pig
stuff.
Kids
when YouTube they do, like, isn't safe.
So So then I went,
pigs at talk.
I went to my husband. I'm like, we can't do this. Like we need to. I mean, if I had my druthers, I think I'd probably throw those iPads in the fucking garbage and we would like not do screen time.
They're just always not
let
charged.
Let them die out.
I let them die. Yeah, I'm like, they're not charged. You can't use
them. Then they just plug them in and they sit near the plug.
No, true. I say, you don't know what the plugs are.
No.
Oh my God, I should
kids,
do that. I should just hide the plugs.
Where are the plugs?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
In your room and I'll show you the plugs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like little crackheads though. They'll find a way.
Yeah.
I know.
And they're so addicted and it's terrifying. And I hate it so much. I hate it so much. And my husband and I don't see eye to eye on that. So it's really hard and scary. I mean, I put a bunch of new restrictions on there and hopefully they're loose enough that they can do some of the things they want to do, but stringent enough that they won't stumble into any more, you know, they can't go on YouTube anymore. So I feel like this week is brought to us by like anxiety and worry. Cause I keep having these ideas. I don't know if you guys ever have these thoughts, but just sometimes I'm like, we need to just buy an RV or like live in a tiny house and just homeschool and never go on the internet and just like,
nope.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't ever have those thoughts.
You never have those thoughts?
No, I don't want to get.
Are you serious?
I don't want to homeschool
all the time.
I would never want to homeschool.
The homeschool thing. Yeah.
Oh, the homeschool thing. But even that, I'm like,
the RV.
Like the school is ruining them. Like I should just, it's a weird sort of version of what you're talking about. Like I don't want anyone to be with them or I don't want anyone to steal them. And I feel their, you know, youth slipping away and they're growing. It's all the same sort of thing. I just want to like get in a tiny house and, yeah. and quit our jobs and go on the road and homeschool them and so, keep them all to myself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And control it. Control I think it that's all about control, too.
It's all about
too.
Control. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, it is about control. And it's about the loss of control and seeing that, like, okay, we're hitting a new stage and they're changing and shifting and you have to pull back even more, you mm-hmm. know, or dive in more, depending, I guess, on where they're at.
Yeah.
Like, Wes, I've kind of have let him go with his teacher. And my mom was visiting and she read his, whatever, the report card thing. Mm-hmm. And she was like, he's bored. She was like, he's not being pushed. He's bored. Mm-hmm. She was like looking at all his grades.
And she's a teacher. She knows.
Oh. So she was just like, he's bored. She's not pushing him. And even the notes are basically like, Wes does amazing and helps other people. And it because he's bored himself. Mm-hmm.
That's how Ajax is, I think.
And so it's like, oh, maybe we, like in my mind, I was like, oh, we should be maybe kind of doing something to help with that. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, do I need to be, who do I even talk to ask for a different teacher for this next year? Like, how do I make sure that he's challenged? What do I need to be doing? So yeah, I feel like for me, it's always a constant like back and forth mm-hmm. where it's like, let it go. Oh wait, I got to pull it back a little.
Yeah. I need to control this. I also need to let go.
Ugh. Yeah.
Push pull.
Mm-hmm. It never feels right.
No. Leave for a second. Come right back.
So John,
yeah,
please tell us what has broken you, what has driven you to drink,
where to begin. I mean, with kid with kid number one,
yeah,
you know, there's high school freshman year is rough. I mean, it's rough.
Holy
it's
shit. A big
transition. Everything is academically much harder. The social pressures are much more intense. I mean, every day feels like a crisis. I mean, every day feels like a fresh new, you know, thing to get anxiety over and to mm-hmm. panic over. She had Saturday school this past weekend. She had like Saturday detention, breakfast
yeah,
club.
Yeah, I used to go to Saturday Ooh. Detention.
There you go.
She's going
to
be awesome.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I only had detention one time and I was so ashamed.
Oh, I loved Saturday detention.
And it was just because I forgot to show up for like lunch duty or whatever.
Yeah. I learned our school's alma mater at Saturday detention.
Your alma...
Or the like...
song.
The song.
School song.
The school song. Yeah, because it was just there on the wall.
Do you remember it?
And stared.
Just stared at it on our city's northern border across the northern shores. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nope. Something. Yeah. Gaither senior high.
Yeah. If someone could start it off for me, I would remember it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gold and blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How often did you find yourself in Saturday school?
I found it because I was a pretty good student. I was actually bored. I was bored.
Yeah,
and
okay.
so I would find ways to get out of being in class. And
yeah.
So
yeah. And then get caught. Yeah.
And then get caught. Or get caught. I liked Saturday detention because mm-hmm. I could go. You saw like friends.
Mm-hmm. You had a crew.
It was like,
you had a crew.
Here we are. What do you want to do after detention? I don't know. You're going to go to detention? Yeah. Let's go to Denny's after. Cool. You know, it was
mm-hmm.
when I figured that out, it was like, oh, this is a fun way for me to like hang out with people. It's like so silly. But yeah, we would all hang out after Saturday detention. I didn't go all the time. But I also used to lie about getting lunch detention because then I didn't have to go to history.
Oh,
so I figured out because I had first period lunch and then there would be second and third period would be in your class. So what I would do is I would just hang out at the lunch in the lunchroom and be like, oh, I have detention. And they would just sign the slip. So I'd go in at the end of history.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I know nothing. This is why in all these shows where I'm like, that Jefferson guy really made mm-hmm. an impact on electricity.
Light bulbs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I was in detention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fake detention. Fake detention. Not even detention. You were just at lunch.
You were just fucking
Long
off.
Lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Just running around saying hi to everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So your daughter got Saturday detention for what?
Well, they had a field trip. They had a field trip to Sacramento for youth and government. Youth and government. It's sort of like Model UN, but California.
Yeah. And did everyone go or just a chosen few?
Just the people in the program. People in the program. And so, lo and behold, there's a separate form that my wife and I didn't know about, that we didn't have. So my wife wrote her a note to show to the teachers she's going to be gone for the field trip. And her science teacher says, where's the form? I was like, I don't know what form you're talking about. Get everybody else is making me sign the form. All right. So my wife emails her the form, like looks it up, finds the form, sends the form. But the way they do the high school schedule could not be better designed to confuse and befuddle parents. There are late start days. There are odd days. There are even days. You have first, third, and fifth one day. You have second, fourth, and sixth another day. Day in and day out without consulting a computer. I don't know where she is or what she's supposed to be doing. So the day that she has the form, she doesn't have the classes that she's going to miss the next day for the field trip because it's the odd day or the even day or whatever. So she's running around trying to find the teachers. She gets one of them to sign it. Another one she never finds. And then another teacher signs it who isn't the teacher that she's going to miss. But she was confused, and so she signed it for her. And so my daughter started to think, like, well, maybe I just need four teachers to do it then?
I'm already confused. I'm very confused with this story.
If she signed it, and I don't even have her, maybe it doesn't matter. I just need to get a certain number of signatures, and it doesn't really matter who. So she's getting the Spanish teacher to sign it, and whatever. And
now then, it's like she's running for office.
And yeah, it's like collecting, or trying to get on the ballot.
Yeah.
Trying to get an initiative on the ballot. And she's like, all right, well, I don't have enough. Am I supposed to tell them just who I'm going to miss? So she wrote the name of one teacher just in print, just like printed on the line. It's like, all right, well, at least they'll know who I have that period, whatever. And she turns it in and then gets called to the vice principal's office and says, like, you forged this.
Oh, okay.
You forged this. And she's sort of like, well, I just wanted to put something down. Like, it's not, that doesn't look like a signature. I wasn't trying to trick anyone.
Yeah.
I wrote it in print, you know, Mr. for the,
Mr.
This is, reflects on your character really poorly. Reflects on your character. So she starts getting upset and Ryan, they gave her a Saturday school.
Uh-huh.
And she got a zero, you know, in all the classes that she missed stuff.
She's making so many friends now. Trust me.
And so, well,
I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
She only knew a few people and they're not that many. Mm-hmm. She knew a few people. And then it's 4 hours on a Saturday. It's like 8 to noon.
Yep.
And they have a 20-minute break. So she's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know anybody. I don't have anybody to talk to. Mm-hmm. So she goes to the bathroom and she smells the weed before she sees the girls coming in. And she said, these two girls came in. They're like, oh, I haven't smoked in so long. And they just both get super baked in the bathroom. And she's like, oh, now this is awkward. She hates awkward. Like, that's a common word. Like, she doesn't want anything to be awkward. So she hid in the stall until they left and then went out because she didn't want to sort of even make eye contact with them on the way out.
That sounds like Saturday detention.
Yeah. No, yeah. That hasn't changed. No. Hasn't changed.
It's the same. They're just high staring at their school song.
Girl. Yeah.
What does that say?
Yeah.
The balls to smoke weed in school.
Yeah, we used to go to Taco Bell, which was next to the school, and the teachers would sit and stare at us and be like, I see you.
Yeah.
I see you, and you have to come back over here. And we'd be like, we will in just a second.
Yeah, first we just got to
finish smoking these cigarettes and we'll just go across.
For most of my life, I went to a private school. If a teacher saw you even outside of campus, not on a school day, smoking a cigarette, you could get like suspended or expelled.
Yeah.
You would get in huge trouble.
I mean, I probably, if I were a teacher looking at a 16-year-old kid smoking, would say something.
Yeah.
Besides, you need to come back to school.
That's what they would say.
Yeah, they would. Well, in the mornings, everybody would stand like in a line, just smoking cigarettes.
Oh my God.
Just like waiting for, like now it's time to go.
Now, to be fair, it was 1974.
Yeah. Well, we just. But yeah, no, everybody would stand out and wait, and then they would come in. When the first bell rang, it was like, oh, I got to go to school now. And they would go in.
But everyone would stand outside the school smoking.
Mm-hmm.
This is blowing my mind.
No. So there was like the line. Here's the line. This is where school property is.
And they would just stand over the line.
Right over the line. So that there was no like real thing to do.
You have no jurisdiction here.
Yep.
Wait, I sounded more like a sheriff than a bad guy.
You have no jurisdiction.
I've got no jurisdiction over that county line.
You sound like a great sheriff. So she had Saturday detention.
She had Saturday detention, but you know, she's an interesting one. She's an interesting one because doesn't normally get in that kind of trouble, but likes to create trouble.
Mm-hmm. What? You know,
she definitely likes to create trouble. The first kind of inkling was when she was 9. I got an email, and it said, "Dear Mr. Abood, we are so sorry for what happened to your daughter in Animal Jam. We have refunded her account with all of the missing items, and we appreciate your concerns, and we hope that her experience will be better going forward." What is Animal Jam?
Yeah.
I don't know what this is. And so I scroll down, and I see the email that they are responding to, which says, "Dear Animal Jam, as a parent, I am appalled. I thought that this was a safe place for my child to hang out, but my child was scammed out of her rare items in this game. She had a ruby hat, a da-na-na, and I listen to all these things." And
well, you got a brilliant one there. You better watch out.
Faked my identity and wrote this incredibly...
This is a pattern with her.
I'm going to tell my parent friends not to patronize Animal Jam for their children. It's like, she faked my identity to get free shit that she didn't own. She didn't have this stuff.
Yeah, she's a girl after my own heart.
Okay,
wait. She's good. She lied about being scammed?
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
That was the scam.
I thought that she was just scam. Got scammed and she took care of business.
We didn't.
So did
no.
I. I thought she got scammed and she was like, "Oh, I'm going to take care of this."
Yeah.
No. She never had the items. She never had the items. We didn't have a paid account.
Ooh.
So she could have the items. So she got them credited. She didn't have any of that. Yeah. that's her deal.
That's her deal.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Emmeline's going to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
She goes into Sephora and steals lipsticks and she's 5. Okay. So, I'm ready.
Yeah.
This is good Animal Jam.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so funny. Oh, no.
Yeah. She got very mad at me one time. And my wife started getting emails from guys from Jordan and Egypt. And Jordan and Egypt mostly, and they said like, "Oh, hello! I saw your profile. Yes, I understand you're looking for a better Arab." She had created an account on some dating site called Middle East Connect, and then put my wife's address. It was a fake profile for my wife, and in there it said like, "Hi, yeah, I'm trying to find a better Arab," and it's because she was mad at me. Mm-hmm.
No, this is just your wife telling you this, right?
No, I saw it. She showed it to me. And then my daughter looks at me and is like, "Yeah, that's right."
She's a little like a shit stirrer. Oh, yeah. I hate that phrase, but that is what she is.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh my
I am so terrified.
Yeah.
That is diabolical. Yeah.
She created
Holy shit.
A fake scavenger hunt.
Oh my goodness. She
hid clues around the neighborhood for kids to find, which led nowhere.
That is so mean.
And she just looked out the window and cackled.
Oh my God.
As this boy is squinting at a piece of paper, going up and down, sticking his fingers into like storm drains and stuff because she had left these fake clues around. There was no prize. There was nothing. She just wanted to fuck with people.
When you started talking about your daughter, I had this picture in my head that she was a really good girl.
Yeah.
But she is a monster.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's awesome.
Oh, my God.
She's a supervillain. She's a supervillain. Yeah. Yeah. We're outmatched.
I can't believe she made a dating profile. Yeah. That is so funny. Yep. Oh, my God.
Yep. Showed me.
And then she's like, yep.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, yeah, mm-hmm. Mom needs a better husband.
Mm-hmm.
A mm-hmm. better Arab.
Which is a weird Arab.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, how old is she?
Because she got a busted one here, so gotta find a better Arab than this.
She's like, this is your type. I'll find a better one.
Yeah, we'll upgrade. Yeah.
Better Arab.
Oh, that is
a hilarious phrase.
We were walking.
Can that be the title of this?
Yeah, better Arab.
ISO. ISO.
ISO.
A better Arab.
A better Arab.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's for in search of, for those of you who
remember the classifieds.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Back in the olden days when you would write to the newspaper, mm-hmm. I need a wife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In search of.
Please inquire within.
Mm-hmm. Do you like pina coladas?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, there's that.
Yeah.
We were walking in the mall one time, and she's mad at me because I went buy her something, and she started having a conversation, and then she yells, "Dad, stop being racist!" Top of her lungs.
Oh my God! This girl.
Yeah.
Super villain.
You are so fucked, dude.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's been that way for a while. It's a good 5 years of realizing, oh, we're fucked. No hope. No hope against this.
Yeah, like what happens when you realize you gave birth to a super villain?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Oh my God.
Hide.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have to find a way to use her powers for good.
I know. We got to channel this somehow.
Oh my God.
She was bossing her little sister around and making her do stuff. Like, go pick this up for me. Go put this away. Throw this away. Do this. And the little sister's like, stop telling me what to do. Like, why are you, don't boss me around. Why are you doing this? Like, all right. She went on the computer, found UCLA Children's Hospital letterhead, created fake stationery, and then wrote a fake letter, Dear Mr. and Mrs. Boot, in regards to the problem that we talked about, I think that a good way to handle this would be to give your daughter simple tasks. And you can give her things to do around the house to make her feel useful, to make her feel helpful. And her sister can join in this process too and give her things to do around the house. I think this will help with the problem that we talked about. And handed it to her and it's like, this is why I tell you what to do. This is why I give you all these tasks and chores. It's for your own good. It's to deal with your problem. And my younger daughter bought it briefly, not long. Like, she did see through it pretty fast.
Because it was vague.
But there was that second where she told us, when she showed us the letter, she's like, am I autistic? Like, she had to ask, like, is that what this is? Like, it was like, no, she made this up. She's like, okay, I thought so. But there was a little ambiguity, like, holy, is this real?
She really is diabolical. Yeah. That is crazy pants.
Yeah.
She is really smart.
Yes.
She knows what she's doing.
She's a real fucking handful.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That is, wow. Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yep. Watch out.
Is she in a gifted program?
No.
I like that she's just super evil genius at this one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I called her a monster.
No, it's
inappropriate.
Oh, it's awesome. My God.
If you define monster as a thing that causes fear, then that's accurate. Yeah, no, we're outmatched.
Oh my God.
We're outmatched.
Were either of you like this when you were?
No.
Whoa.
No, I don't know where this comes from.
There's something about your genetic material together has made this this person.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
She thinks outside the box.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Creative.
Yeah. She's... Yeah, she's going to be awesome.
Whoa.
At something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Sometimes when your kids are super gifted, it can be terrifying.
Yeah.
Because you're like, how do I steer this?
Well, the illusion of control that you're talking about earlier is like, gone. No illusion of control.
Because that's something
else. I don't know
what
to do here.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's...
I love that she printed out, like she went and created a dating profile and then she printed out on letterhead and was like this. Because my aunts used to tell me a story. I think it was my aunts told me a story about one time. I could be totally wrong, but somebody I know, I want to say my aunts, printed out a letter saying you were adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And they hid it so that the other sisters found
it. Find it.
And then she was like, what is this? And they're like, oh no, you found that. Oops.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And it's like so this is that, you know, this is that
that's
same.
Exactly that.
That's
same
just
thing.
The type
exactly
of thing that she might do.
It's like, here you go. This is why you have to do everything I say.
Yeah.
So it's so great.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's something there that I love about it because it's like thinking in a different way and being able to be like, haha.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, like, what is your daughter's goal? Like, what is she?
Some people just like to watch the world burn. I don't
know. Okay.
That's all. That's just, that's all it is. There's nothing bigger than that.
Oh my gosh.
That's all it is.
She's just like, let's see them all squirm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
It's good. It's crazy and makes me terrified because I definitely, with three kids, there's no way that I'm not getting away with one.
One of them, you're going to have one. There's a Bond villain in there somewhere.
Someone in there. One of them. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We see That's you. How it is.
John.
Yes.
Do you have anything you'd like to promote to our listeners?
The defense fund for my daughter, like this, the legal defense,
because
it's gonna come in. Yeah, it's gonna be necessary. That's on the bail. Like, we're getting rid of cash bail, I guess, in California. Thank God.
When she has her catch me if you can kind of moment.
Yeah, no more cash bail. Thankfully, yeah.
Where she steals an airplane and pretends to be Oh, man. Yeah. Would you like people to follow you on social media or anything like
that? You can. I don't do it much, but you're welcome to wait. You're welcome to wait in hopes like, maybe something will happen, but I'm at Jaboud.
Jaboud.
Yeah.
What are you working on these days?
Mike and I are running the room on Michael Colton from earlier episode. We're running the room on a new animated TBS program that hopefully will be debuting. The first season will be debuting sometime this year, hopefully. We weren't involved with season one, so if you love it, we cannot take any credit for that whatsoever. But working on season two.
Of what? Of what show?
Well, it's called Close Enough.
Close Enough.
And it was created by J.G. Quintel, who is the creator of Regular Show on Cartoon Network.
Awesome.
This is his first show for adults.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. It's about parenting. It's about young parents in L.A. that had to move into a different school district, wanted to be in a good school district, but the only way they could afford that was to live with their best friends who are a divorced couple. So they're all piled on top of each other in the apartment.
Ooh.
And then
it's like borrowing from the premise of Speechless, but then like heightening it out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because on that show, they move to like a fancy neighborhood so that their son who has special needs can get his needs met. Yeah. But that's something else. Living, why is this divorced couple living together in the first place?
Yeah, well, they're broke too. So it's all, this is the only way that they can, when they pool their resources, they can afford Los Feliz, but that's about it.
So Close Enough.
Yeah.
On TBS.
On TBS. Hopefully soon, I'm sure they'll, promote it through all their various means when the time comes.
And the first season is already out though?
No, not yet. It is being finished, polished, delivered. Soon. Animation takes a long time, guys.
That makes sense.
It takes a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
I hope. It means she sounds amazing.
The younger daughter, the most devastating thing she ever did was one day she sat me down for the talk, which was, Dad, I'm no longer interested in superheroes.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's like, all right, I appreciate you telling me. Thank
you.
Oh,
wow.
I'm glad we had this talk.
Do you love superheroes?
A little bit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
She still will go to the Marvel movies with me.
Okay.
She'll do that. She'll humor me and be my buddy for those. But otherwise, like, no more reading comic books together. None of that. That's all. It's like, that time has passed.
I can't believe you didn't lead with that story, John.
Yeah. I know. The deep emotional hurt.
My kids are super into graphic novels, but none of them are superhero type things.
Well, you don't have to be anymore. Nowadays, the graphic novel world has expanded.
It's enormous.
El Defo. Have they read El Defo?
No.
Check out El Defo.
What's El Defo?
It's about it's a memoir where a woman's writing about her youth. She is hearing impaired, and she depicts herself and all the kids as rabbits. Stuff. It's great.
Very cool. No, they're like in a Lumberjanes.
Oh, yep. She had a Lumberjanes phase.
That's a fun. Fun.
Yep.
There's like some comic series all about Greek. It's like a superhero Greek mythology kind of.
Sure.
So it'll be like Athena and Zeus.
Yep.
And
it's not
really
just superheroes.
Yeah.
Just superheroes,
it's really kind of amazing. Yeah. Graphic novels are really kind of just like books now.
Raina Telgemeier, all the Raina Telgemeier books.
What's that?
Oh, Smile and Drama. Those are the big two. Check out Smile and Drama by Raina Telgemeier.
Kid friendly?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
A little older than your guys, maybe. Okay. A little older.
Like if Wes is on the like fifth Harry Potter book.
Sure.
So those are okay then?
I think.
I don't know.
I think.
I don't
older, older daughter crapped out at book four. Younger daughter went all the way through, up through Cursed Child.
Okay.
So, oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Older daughter didn't. So she stalled out.
They just
out.
Stopped. They're she like, all right, I'm out. Done.
Yeah. Rex kind of lost interest. Yeah.
Wesley won't stop.
Wow. He's,
so it's like, I need to find something soon because it's going to be done.
Amanda.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job.
Yeah, I'm better than I was.
And you're so much better.
Betsy, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I know you had a worry week.
Yeah.
But, like, isn't it funny when they're little, they're wonder weeks, and as they get older, it's just worry weeks. Why are they staying up all night? They're having a developmental milestone. Why am I staying up all night? Because they're having a developmental milestone.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I think you guys are both doing a great job.
Thanks, John.
Yeah.
Hey, if you like the show, please subscribe. And, you know, it's a free show. So a way that you can pay us is to rate it and review it.
Yep. And if you like it, make sure to tell your friends about it.
Tell everybody, mm-hmm. especially tell your mom group. Mm-hmm. Please follow us on Twitter at Mommy Drinks Show and on Instagram at Why Mommy Drinks Podcast. Like us on Facebook.
Yeah, join our Facebook group. We have a great Facebook group, That's Why right. Mommy Drinks.
That's right. It's a whole community of listeners. It's super fun. It's super supportive. Also, send us your parenting nightmares. Send us your shit shows. Email them to us at whymommydrinkspodcast@gmail.com. And you can leave a message on our hotline.
Call me with your shit show. 424-279-8884. Call me with your shit show. 424-279-8884. Call me with your shit show.
424-279-8842.
If you find yourself lying up at night thinking I should have signed my kid up for Mandarin on Saturdays, mm-hmm. or you're remembering that you used to be riddled with anxiety and didn't leave the house for weeks on end, and you're proud that at least you do now, or your daughter is finally going to Saturday mm-hmm. detention.
Developmental milestone. Developmental milestone.
Know that you're doing a great job.
Why Mommy Drinks.
Well, hello there, Why Mommy Drinks listeners.
I'm Margaret Abels, and I'm Amy, what would you say? I like to say I'm like a laid-back, let-it-ride kind of a mom.
You're laissez-faire.
I'm laissez-faire. It'll all work out.
And I'm not. I'm more of a by-the-book, organized, never-met-a-list-I-didn't-like kind of parent.
The good news about that, though, is if you don't like doing research, Amy does it for you. She's going to figure it out, guys.
Together, we host the comedy parenting podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, where every week we solve a vexing parenting dilemma with actual, real research advice.
And also a ton of laughs. So don't worry, it's not all seriousness.
We need both. Join us. You can find us at whatfreshhellpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Campfire.